Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Hi there, Foster Brown, the co-host of the program. Delighted to be able to be reaching you folks in our flagship station area, Detroit, with WJR Live. Today we're here till 6 o'clock talking about some great things in this first hour, including the incredible $20 billion purchase of WhatsApp by Facebook. What's about that? Emily Hay will be with us to talk about that. We're also going to have a father and son duo in here, Ed and Talon Rudell. Some interesting things about taking care of your kids' computers when they're away at college. All coming up. Well, it is my pleasure to introduce the crew here in studio with me, my usual group of suspects, our tech experts, starting on my left. You're right, Mr. Cal Carson. Good to have you in here.
You know, it feels weird sitting in this spot because normally our tech expert, our internet advisor, Gary Baker,
would be
sitting right here. But since he's not here, I'm keeping the chair warm.
Is there a game or something on, or a football game?
I thought something was the second coming of U of M or something.
I thought so.
That big game is tomorrow. No, he's got, some other things going on. I believe it is with his son in a lacrosse tournament.
Oh, I thought maybe he was, waxing up his boat because now he's got a stall and got all this water out here,
Ed Rudell's with us. Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
Oh, it's always great to be here, Foster. I'm doing great.
And you brought another member of the family along. So, Talon, say hello.
Hello.
All right. Normally, Ed is in here as our tech expert, but you brought in Talon today. You drove him in from Grand Valley State College, right?
Yes, I drove him in Friday night.
Pardon me.
Yep, Friday night, late night.
Thursday night, by the way.
Thursday. Had to go to work the next morning after 3 hours sleep. It was in all that rain and fog that we had.
So. Yeah.
What a dad.
And you know something? He is the golden voice of Grand Valley State University Radio, too,
aren't
you?
No kidding, Talon.
Yes,
tell us.
I am on Whale Radio at GVSU Allendale campus. I do it in the basement of Kirkhoff, which is like the student center kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have a radio show from 10 to midnight every Saturday night. And
sweet.
It's called The Lakers Nest. And if you ever want to listen to it, it's whaleradio.org.
I love it. Whale. Yeah. It's W-H-A-L-E.
Yes, it is.
And there's an app for that. I was surprised.
There is an app for that.
And get the students to make them.
Got to make us one.
From what I understand, it's only on Android. And if you want to use it on your iPhone, you have to go on, Firefox app in order to listen to it. Because something with the coding with Safari.
But I love it that this is not an underground radio station. It's a legitimate radio station you guys are doing at Grand Valley University. That is really great. And what kind of music do you play?
Well, I play a lot of a mix. I have a co-host with one of my friends, Stefan Richards, so he plays a lot of the more modern rap and hip-hop music and a lot of popular stuff. But I play a lot of rock, alternative, indie music and stuff like that.
Matter of fact, we're going to be talking a little later on, Eddie. You got an announcement about Third Degree Burn, which was an organization for helping young people in high school getting into rock, and that's where you were, Talon, for a while.
Yep.
And you're not taking it out. By the way, starting out in a college radio station is a good place to start for people who would get into broadcasting. I know, Shane.
Yes.
Shane Hamlin's also here.
Yes.
Did you start out? Did you start out with the student radio?
I did. Well, I did a lot of multimedia in college.
Okay.
To put it to you that way, a lot of it. but back then, it was a lot of it was underground radio.
Yeah.
Pirate radio.
Exactly.
I'm not the youngest in the studio anymore, so.
There you go. Well, Gary, it was funny. Gary talked about, having an underground radio in one of the dorms when he was in Michigan, at University of Michigan, and kind of watching for the FCC trucks. Because then, in those days, they used to drive down the street with that truck with that little circular antenna on top.
I thought that was the Ghostbusters.
Might have been doubling duty, but they actually went down looking for those pirate radio stations.
Yeah, that's the best way to start.
Even
in high school, they do it. Now, some high schools do.
Yeah.
Is it just the nature of radio people to sometimes be involved in something clandestine? that goes across the airwaves.
We're rebels.
You never know.
That's what we are.
That is, I think it is. That's some of that spirit. It is. Some of that kind of...
spunk.
Yeah, spunk. There you go. Kind of a rebel spirit. And it's neat because, but it's the where people kind of, they say, get their chops. You know, they learn how they sound behind a microphone. And part of that is that you really learn. There's a different sound. And you learn that you get used to the sound of your own voice and then crafting it so that it conveys what you want to convey.
And then as Talon was telling Rich Lozinski, our engineer, when he was in here, and you get rid of all the but-ums.
Yes. Isn't it interesting how you realize when you listen to yourself on tape, all the speech mannerisms you have.
Yes.
The ers and all the rest of them.
Well, you know, I'm not sure.
Drives me nuts. I do interviews for podcasts for Travel Magazine, American Road Magazine, and often I spend most of my time taking those speech mannerisms out of the podcast. Not mine necessarily, but my guests. And I have to confess that I have to do some cleaning up of my own faux pas in there. Hey, guys, let's talk about some of the big things that have been going on, because there's a lot of top news going on, exciting news going on this week. One that we're going to be talking about, I'll put a little bookmark in this. Emily Hay from Hey There Social Media, who is our social media expert, will be with us in a few minutes to talk about Facebook spending nearly $20 billion to buy an app called WhatsApp. What's up with breaking a piggy?
That is a lot of money for...
I can't think. Has anything been bought for? What was Motorola bought for?
I think it was like a billion.
$3.2 billion.
Well, what's fascinating was that a year ago, WhatsApp was going for $1 billion. Google tried to buy it for $10 million.
Oh my goodness!
And then Facebook bought it for $20 million. We're going to find out more about that. Some of the other things going on though, Cal. I want you to talk about this quickly, just to let people who are using iOS devices that they need to make a security update.
And you know something? I did some more research, and I guess I was wrong. It does affect Macs as well. It's a flaw in the SSL TSL security that's on the phone. But Apple has already issued a update for iOS devices.
7.0.6. Am I right?
It is 7.0.6 is correct.
Right. Ding, ding, ding.
You win the prize. It's an easy update. You can do it over the air. It takes all of probably, it took me 8 minutes on my 5S.
Right.
And you download it, it reboots the phone, you log back into it, and it's just like nothing.
Where would you find it? You go into your general settings. Excuse me. You go into general settings and look for updates, right?
That is correct.
Click on updates, and then it will say this is available. But folks, if you have an iPhone, if you have an iOS device, an iPad, do it. Do it now.
Also for iTouch 5s as well.
iTouch 5s as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but it is a very serious flaw, and Apple will put out that security update right now. So if you've got an iPhone, iPad, iPod 5.
Yes, any iOS device.
Get that updated. Coming up in just a moment, Emily Hay. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, your co-host here. Cal Carson, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, you're chock full of our great tech expert team. Talon Hamlin, just change your family. Talon Riddell, I should have you sitting next to your father, so it's easier. In any case, we're going to be talking with them about some of the things that they've been doing.
You just did Ed a great favor. You just reduced his tuition fees by 50%.
Yeah, but I just lost a hell of a deduction.
I could use an extra one.
All right, getting back around here. We mentioned this at the start of the program, that one of the biggest pieces of news out right now, it's a real shocker this week, was not that that Facebook, a company like Facebook, would take over an application that has been growing remarkably, has 450 million users. It's called WhatsApp, which is a messaging application that's used, as I understand it, primarily, guys, in the developing world. That'd be Africa, India, Latin America, where people don't have necessarily smartphones. They have feature phones, and they use it as a way of communicating with one another, you know, off of the phone. They're not using up data for phone calls, et cetera. So it's cheaper, it's quick, and it's had incredible attraction around the world. This week, however, Google, I keep on saying Google, because they're normally the ones spending this much money. Facebook spent $19 billion to acquire it. And with us right now is Emily Hay, who is our tech expert in the social media area. Emily, thank you so much for joining us on the road. Have you got Emily here? I'm not hearing Emily.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. How are you doing, Emily?
I'm good. Sorry. How's it going over there, Foster? I should ask WhatsApp, guys.
WhatsApp is right. Emily, first of all, can you explain why Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook would put, I understand this is like 1/8 of their capital into buying a single application?
Sure. So you've got the trifecta going with WhatsApp. It's got, it's a high quality product. Remember, it has no ads. It's strong engagement, and it's growing like wildfire. So that's why, you know, Mark Zuckerberg looks at this and says, they have a higher daily active user rate than Facebook does. And this is the first time Facebook's seen that.
One of the ironic things is right now, at this moment, Ed and Shane tried to get out to WhatsApp. Is it still down, Shane, on WhatsApp?
It is.
Yep. It's been down for the last 2 hours, according to the news. And you got to wonder why.
Well, I don't know.
And it's the whole system is down. Not just, I mean, it just won't even, it will, when you go to log in, it will verify your phone and make sure the account is right. And it can't even verify the phone.
I wonder what's going on with that. Well, in any case.
Maybe they'll have to increase their subscription rate. I don't know if you, obviously you guys are trying to install it, but part of the allure with WhatsApp is, remember, it's free. They give users a whole year to use WhatsApp for free.
Wow.
And then after your free year, the subscription fee is a whopping $1 a year.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay, so I got to ask the question, Emily. Hey, every time something's free, what's buried into the in the agreement that you're giving up? Are you giving up pictures? What are you giving up?
Well, I know you definitely grill me on the privacy side of things, Cal, but I know with WhatsApp, part of their commitment to their users has always been keeping privacy primary. But the feature that they really go out there and talk about is that they will not have ads. And that's something Mark Zuckerberg has said that they'll continue to be able to deliver on.
Wow. Wow. Well, now, tell us where WhatsApp is big and what it's used for people who are not familiar with it.
Sure. So WhatsApp is really big in Europe, and I know you were talking about that before I dialed in here. Mm-hmm. I have friends and family in the UK, and they use it all the time. And I know you said it was a replacement for people that might not use smartphones, but everyone that I know that uses WhatsApp definitely uses it from their smartphone. And like I said, we do have a lot of contacts overseas that tend to use this instead of your cell phone number to cell phone text messaging since it's free.
Well, so both people have to be on WhatsApp to be able to use it, am I right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not like Skype where I could be on Skype, but I could dial a number that's not on Skype, like a phone number someplace.
Well, you both have to have WhatsApp installed.
Right,
so
right.
It's just like a continuous text message chain going, whether you have, you know, just one-on-one or if you have a group of friends all in the communication, then that's how it works. And the impressive thing is that the number of messages sent through WhatsApp is already approaching the whole world's use of SMS text messaging. So it's really growing quickly.
I'm still amazed, Emily. If they're not doing advertising, they're giving it to you for free, what are they getting out of the deal?
What, Facebook, you mean? What does Facebook get out of it? Yeah.
Well, Facebook wants to tap into that European market. And Mark Zuckerberg's always been very clear about wanting to connect the world. And he sees that they have a strong foothold overseas that maybe where, you know, Facebook hasn't quite tapped into. So it's right in line with his goal to make the world a more connected place.
Now, Emily, I also heard, and this is why I prefaced my remarks this way, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's also huge in developing countries like Africa and India in particular, where you have, you know, billion people markets that are there. And I think I've also heard Latin America, but in particular, Africa and India were mentioned. Is that the case? Am I right with that?
Yeah, so I haven't read enough into how it's being used in developing countries, but a couple months back, remember we talked about how in developing countries, they feel the internet is Facebook to them.
Yes.
So in other words, you know, Facebook, the Facebook experience is what people think it is to surf the web.
Wow.
So it makes sense that it's a free, you know, low-cost tool for people to be able to use and communicate. So it makes sense that it would be growing in those areas.
I guess the big question I have, guys, is how will this affect us as Facebook users, if you happen to be a Facebook user? I mean, are we gonna see new bells and whistles? Will they break this? Will they keep WhatsApp as a separate application? As, like, for instance, what they're doing now with, I'm trying to get my phone out to look at it. But, I mean, Messenger, which is was inside of Facebook, has now been broken out.
Mm-hmm.
And can you guys remember what the other one is? I'll get it up on my phone here.
I lost the ability to read minds, Foster.
Well, remember, Facebook just acquired, well, just acquired not too long ago, is when they made that $1 billion acquisition of Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
they were very out front in saying that Instagram would continue to operate on its own.
Yeah.
And Mark Zuckerberg is saying the same with WhatsApp, that they will operate on their own. It won't be an integration into Facebook. Again, they're not even looking into the ad model, which Facebook has been spending all of its time on.
Yeah.
And the story of these founders, we didn't even get to talk about that yet. It's just so amazing. It's the classic story of two guys that, what, both applied for jobs at Facebook, both were rejected. You've got one who's a Ukrainian-American immigrant now.
Yeah.
And they hit the $16 billion startup jackpot. So.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, were these like two guys in a dorm? What is the story behind it? Just quickly, the thumbnail
sure.
of it.
I think they're a little bit out of college, but they are both engineers that did try to get jobs at Facebook not too long ago. Remember, WhatsApp launched in 2009.
Am I right then, too, also, that last year they were valued at $1
billion? Yes, you're exactly right. Some people were joking about, wait a minute, did the guys that sold Instagram for $1 billion get shortchanged? $1 billion is never going to be considered shortchanged in my book.
Oh, my Lord. I know. Suddenly they are just wildly rich, and these are the two guys who were turned down at the front door. I'm sorry, we can't use you. Which just goes to prove, you know, there were some cases, I forget who it was that turned down a purchase a while back, and people were saying, are you nuts? Are you, look at all that money. Are you nuts? $1 billion? And then here they come up with 20 times that, almost. What I was trying to think of was this new thing called Paper by Facebook. That is actually, to me, folks, I have it on my iPhone. If you download it, what's fascinating about that is I could see this being a replacement for the Facebook application that's out there right now, because it allows me to look into my Facebook and then to headlines. And then I've got, for instance, headlines, tech, scores, ideas, and all city and enterprise set up as different categories. And under each one of those windows, then I can go into separate stories, or I can go back to my Facebook page and see my news feed. And it's just fascinating that they've developed this. So WhatsApp is going to be, provided it gets to work again, will become part of this new stable of applications that will be available through Facebook.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see the user rate grow just in the States now that there's so much awareness about it, because like I said, that's definitely where they have their strong users, 450 million users to be exact, overseas.
Incredible. Emily, hey, thank you so much. Again, safe travel for you. Thank you for pulling off the road and for being with us here on the show. Emily Hay from Hay There Social Media. If you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you can click on the marker near there and see more about Emily and all of her great resources as well. Safe trip to you, and we will see you back here in Detroit soon again. Emily Hay, our guest. Coming up just a minute, the dynamic father and son duo of Ed and Talib Riddell. The Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, co-host of the program with Gary Baker. Normally in studio with me today, we've got Cal Carson, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamblin, and also Talon Riddell. And Eddie, we invited you to bring your son along since he's in town from Granite Valley University, along with your daughter, Sade.
Yes.
Recognize her as well. And you made the big trip out there. That's a long haul from where you are, isn't it?
It's like about three hours.
So the problem we're going to talk about in just a moment was something that was much better handled over the internet rather than by car. But before we do that, you have an important announcement.
Yeah, Talon and I are going to be going to the Third Degree's annual fundraiser, 7th annual fundraiser. It's in Lapeer. So if you've ever seen the Third Degree Burns, they're a youth run and organized organization, rock band, run by Gary Burns, who runs it out of Lapeer.
Right.
And they're having their fundraiser at the, Lapeer Country Club near Lake Nipissing at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. tonight. So Saturday evening, 7 p.m. to 10. Okay. If you've seen them and heard them and you've forgotten that they're, that the gig's tonight, come on out. No. $5 at the door, 3 hours of entertainment.
Tell me, how long were you part of that group, Third Degree Burns?
About 2 years, I think, two and a half.
And that's really kind of where you got your chops. You got to get in there, you learned to play the guitar and sing in front of people. And
well, I've been playing guitar since I was 9 years old. Well,
but I mean, singing with a group of people.
No,
in front of an audience.
He got his chops before that.
Oh, did he? Okay, all right.
Yeah, I've been playing guitar for a while. I did this thing called School of Rock, which was
pretty
similar. And then I found this program and I was like, hey, this is free. Hey, this is cool. A lot of cool people get to meet up once a week and it just goes all year round. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. So I got to ask you to be question, are you sitting in tonight? Are you taking your axe with you?
No. I graduated from the program. Once you graduate high school, you graduate from the program. Right. So I'm just going as to show support to my old friends, support to Gary, and like give him some money because it is a great cause.
And Gary supports it really out of his own pocket as well as raising funds for
it. So. It started with his daughter originally and him organizing it. And then, his daughter's in college, out of college now, and it's just continued. It's just something he just loves
wonderful
doing.
It's a great program for kids who like music, rock and roll. Great, we're getting them together. And if you want to go out and support that again, it's at 7 to 9 tonight. Lake Nipissing is the club, right?
Well, it's at Lapeer Country Club near Lake Nipissing, yes.
Okay, that's
I imagine that would be a great family outing, you know, rather than just sitting around the house blowing time off. You know, just take the whole family and go out and listen to some good music.
But Talon graduated, and what happened was when the kids go off to college, you send them with their laptops. I did everything I could to prepare them in case something catastrophic happened.
And you sent them off with a new,
it was a refurbished, Sony Vaio.
That you had found online. I think we talked about finding
it. He found it online.
Oh, okay.
At Best Buy. But here's the cautionary note that we discovered. And we knew this, but we really didn't think it was a problem. We've had good luck with Sony Vaios before. The bad news is good luck trying to find a vendor in the States that'll actually service them. And good luck trying to get spare parts, because I could tear apart everything and put it back together, but you won't, because as Shane has told me, this is so new, you won't find any used parts on the internet. eBay, nothing.
Did I also hear, Shane, that Sony is getting out of the laptop?
Sony is having trouble with their laptop sales, and they've always been a problem getting parts for. Just from way back, I mean, as long as I can remember, they've always had problems. You just can't find parts for them.
Not to mention the fact of the matter, and it's not being a jab, but it's true. They're trying to sell a Windows machine at Apple prices, and it just doesn't fly.
Yes, they always were premium priced. Okay, so you got the Sony machine.
And it was actually very good. I mean, thought it was really good. Anyways, the hinge broke on it. It's a Windows 8 touchscreen, and the hinge broke on it, Talon.
Both hinges, yeah.
And was it because you were tapping on the screen? You were putting more pressure on the screen?
Have honestly no idea what happened. Like, I use the touchscreen frequently, but not extremely frequently. Sure. So I'd use it, and then I'd shut the lid. I'd shut it from the middle most of the time, maybe sometimes from the side, which is you don't want to do.
You weren't giving it extreme use. Okay.
I was giving it use, but I wasn't, abusing it. Right. I wasn't abusing it.
You did all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, I was just doing homework in my room one time, and then I just kept hearing this noise when I shut the lid or open it up, and I was like, oh, this is weird. Then I mentioned to a friend, he's like, yeah, you should probably get that checked out. So then I did it one more time, and I actually looked at the hinges, and I was like, wait a minute, what's wrong? And so I called my dad and said, hey, the hinges on my laptop look like they're broken. They're making this creaking, metallic sound. So what do we do?
So the hinge actually broke away from the lid. The hinge was intact. Where it fastened was bad. And what Sony had done to cheapen cost, obviously, because my daughter's computer did not have this, instead of having brass or aluminum places for the hinge to screw into that was actually in the aluminum
like a
lid.
A fitting or an anchor.
They anchored onto a piece of plastic that was glued to aluminum.
Oh,
and the glue broke loose.
So then, being the good hacker that he is, Dad got hold of this, I understand.
Yep.
And you went to work on it, Ed, and thought you had secured it pretty well, except that it kept on coming apart.
It came apart afterwards, yep. And I used liquid steel, or what is that called? I forgot what.
Epoxy?
Yeah.
Epoxy,
I used a high-strength epoxy. Yeah.
You did. But anyway, it came apart. Because that's a really... it's a hinge point, and it takes a lot of pressure.
I was surprised. I called Shane on that, and I says, I can't even turn this hinge with my hands, and I'm no weakling. And and he says you got to use pliers practically.
They're tight.
So, anyways, so it happened again. I says, close the lid as best you can. I'm going to Amazon, and I'm going to take my buddy Shane's advice and get a Lenovo. And they had a special out there, bought him one, shipped it to his address.
Now, tell me what you got, and give people some idea of what it costs, because there's some people who got kids.
I intend to get the Lenovo or the Vaio fixed.
Okay, but I mean...
But this is a short term, and that's going to be mine when I fix the other one back.
Ah, I see. So what did this Lenovo end up costing?
$325.
$325? And what have you got there, Talon? Give us a little idea we're looking at.
Well, it's just a standard, I think it's called it's an IdeaPad. So it's like a small screen. I think it's like 13 or 12, one of the two.
Right, it's a 12-inch, yeah.
And it's touch screen. It has a standard keyboard, the mouse pad. It has two USB ports, HDMI, audio jack.
How big a hard drive?
I think it has a 500 gig hard drive.
So how many gigs? I'm going to hunch RAM on it. Was it 4 or 8?
I think it's 4.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was going to ask if it was an i5 or an i7 and whether or not it was Haswell.
I believe it's an i5. Okay. I believe.
Okay. That is a sweet machine. For $350, Eddie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and
not refurbished or new?
New. That was new.
Brand new?
Brand new.
And it's Lenovo. Shane, why do you recommend Lenovo? For the sake of our audience, that's a... I mean, you sell it. Your shop
yes,
there.
Yes, we do. We sell off-lease Lenovos just because they last forever. Lenovos just are constructed really well. I mean, sure, I've had some Lenovos break. Mm-hmm. But in the majority, you know, over years and years of working on laptops, like, you kind of see a trend. And I've seen the trend with Lenovos and IBMs, which, so people know, Lenovo and IBM, they used to be IBM.
Tell people where your shop is. Just free advertising. Shane comes in here, helps us out. What would you like to do this for him?
Comtech
Services.
Comtech Services at 19 and Shaner in Sterling Heights.
I bring that up, folks, because you at every day are interfacing with you, with the customers.
I'm in the battlegrounds.
You're in the battlegrounds. Yes. You got your hands on these computers. So when you say that a Lenovo is a sturdy computer, that's something to take into account, folks.
And
that's
I should have taken his advice to begin with, because he said that to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy it. Talon bought it with his graduation money. Well, and I'm not going to beat him down for choosing a Vio, which I thought was a good computer, and he has to make his own decisions.
I'm curious. Did you buy it for price initially?
It was I'm talking to a bunch of my friends. They said, I have a friend that's really big into computers, and we were talking about like what he was going to get, what I was going to get, and he was like, oh, why don't you get this, ironically, and a Lenovo, and it was very similar to the Sony I had, but for like $800. Mm-hmm. But then I found this Sony that was $700 with a little bit better specs,
yeah,
and it was refurbished, and I was like, what a great deal.
Now,
it had a graphics adapter. Talon thought he was going to do a lot of graphics editing and possibly gaming, so he wanted a separate graphics card.
Important.
I'm a film and video major at Grand Valley, so I wanted to be able to do some of the video editing that I have to do for my classes on the computer.
Can you do it on that Lenovo?
On this one, I might, but it would run very slow.
Okay, so you would need something with a little more horsepower on a separate video card. And,
yes.
And that would actually bring the price up. But what you've got there is kind of like a good little workhorse. It's nice and light, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's very light. It's very portable. I just like put it in my backpack. I'll have a computer case backpack, so it works out. But it works really well. And I just like I do my homework on it. I check the internet, Facebook, email, all that.
Now,
stuff.
How did
so it works perfectly for that.
How did you transfer the data? Tell them how you did that. Because I talked to you on the phone, but can you describe?
So what I did is when I was using the laptop until the moment that this came in. So I got it in the mail, went to where I got it, and put it in my room, opened it up, turned it on, and I just connected it, did the Windows Easy Transfer, and hit a couple buttons, entered the password.
Now, we were talking about this, I think, last week in our program. Did you put two network cables between
it? Yes.
Yeah, you power up the laptops with a network cable interconnected between each one, then you power them up, and then they... Windows assigns them a special address, and then you run the Easy Transfer Wizard on both of them, and then they identify each other.
And then, boom, it then takes... How long did it take, roughly?
I did it overnight, so I don't know.
Okay, so it takes a while, but when it's done, you got all your stuff there. Hey, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about refurbished, but Mike Brennan is coming up just a moment with MI Tech News. Want to stay tuned for that. At this point in our program, it's our pleasure to welcome Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. And MITechNews.com is the source that we recommend to you folks for a weekly update on all the top news going around the country, our state, and also news for entrepreneurs. And talking about industry, the tech industry in particular, in our fair state of Michigan. Mike, thanks so much for joining us here once again for MI Tech News.
Thanks, Foster.
Good to have you with us. And let's take a look at some of the headlines that are there. Let's see. One of the ones that caught my eye immediately is the FCC chairman planning to do a do-over on net neutrality. Does that mean that they're going to fight the most recent rulings, which seem to overrule net neutrality?
No, they're just going to rewrite the rules. They looked at the fine print and what the court had to say. They think they can restructure the rules so that it complies with what the court wants done. But it's really important for the freedom of the Internet. For instance, what's happening right now is a lot of the video is moving to the Internet, away from cable, away from satellite. And the cable and the satellite folks are not so keen on that.
Right.
So they've been lobbying really hard to restrict that so that, for instance, if you got video delivered to you on your device from...
Like Netflix, for instance.
Yeah, like Netflix. That'd be a good example. They would charge a premium because that's what's called latency. It has to be delivered right away. There can't be a lag, right?
Right, exactly. You don't want to see the lips not catching up to the sound or to have that darn buffering thing come up.
Yeah, and if they, under what happened with the court when they struck that down, that would allow Comcast and DirecTV to kind of eliminate the competition, essentially.
Exactly. So that's a big deal. What some people have expressed a little concern because Wheeler apparently was a lobbyist for the cable company. So
yeah.
A little bit worried about the fox in the hen house. Another news I saw there was that Michigan's Public Service Commission renewable energy report shows that there's been a good deal of success for the electric providers out there.
Yeah, they've done really well, except for Detroit Public Lighting. The rest of them are on pace to have 10% from alternatives by 2015,
wow,
which is what the state wants. Detroit Public Lighting's a little behind. Doesn't mean they can't catch up. They got another year or so, but good news on that front. You know, there's some people that are pushing hard to have it be 25%
right,
from alternatives within about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's doable, but there's a lot of political issues that you have to deal with.
Yeah, so it's not so much a practical. It is a political issue. So we talked with Alan O'Shea last week, as a matter of fact, about wind energy and solar energy and how the wind farms around Michigan are becoming a huge thing. One final thing before we take a break. Our old friends at Online Technology, Online Tech, are expanding their Mid-Michigan data center, which has been a huge bunker for data safety for a whole lot of people.
Yeah, spending $3 billion. You know, they got that $30 million investment about a year ago. That's Gary's old company,
right,
by the way.
Right, exactly. And Jan Ness and those folks were for a long time our providers until we moved to IGD Solutions. But I'm delighted to see that they're expanding and becoming a very important force for businesses.
Yeah, they're doing really well. They're being very, very aggressive right now. So,
well, folks, these are the kind of headlines, just some of the headlines you get free when you sign up for mitechnews.com. You can do that by going to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and there's a little button down there below Mike's smiling face as you scroll down the page. Just click there and you can subscribe, and all it takes is your email address, and then every Friday you get a whole list of not just these headlines, but many others delivered to you. One of the nice things about it, too, is that Mike has been covering news in Michigan for 20-some-odd years and has some great contacts behind the scene, both on the state level and with businesses, and this is particularly important if you're interested in businesses and technology that are expanding in Michigan, or if you're an entrepreneur, because one of the other things you'll find out is that he also has a lot of notes in there about meetings that are coming up. And Mike, along those lines, let's talk about some of the local news you've got here. I saw that three of University of Michigan's pathologists who have developed a cancer diagnosis software and won a $40,000 investment.
Yeah, from the Center for Entrepreneurship in the College of Engineering. I mean, U of M's tech transfer program, when I first hit the state, wasn't so good, but nobody's was all that great. But now they've really got it worked out where the students and the professors or whomever that work there, when they develop stuff, I mean, the tech transfer folks get in there, they really help them. And then on top of that, you have various programs at the University of Michigan and other universities where they give them the money. That's really the key. I mean, it's great to have a great idea, but if you don't have the money to pull it off, you're not going to go anywhere.
Boy, and especially in this area of cancer diagnosis, as somebody who's dealing with cancer myself personally right now, that notion of the ability to find it in order to be able to treat it is so, so important. So I'm just delighted to see this. One other thing that you do there, Mike, as you let people know about entrepreneurs in particular, about events that are coming up, you've got one coming up that has got a special discount for people who get your mitechnews.com. That's a Great Lakes Biz Intelligence Conference coming up.
Well, and for listeners of the Internet Advisor as well, it's a 15% off, excuse me, for the second annual Great Lakes Business Intelligence in Big Data Summit, which will be March 13th at the Marriott Hotel.
And that's the Marriott Hotel in Troy that you're meeting at, right?
Yeah, in Troy, right.
And it's 200 of the top minds.
So all you have to do is, this one you need to go to my website and click on the link, because once you get there, then you type in, or you click on that you want to be an attendee, and then this box will appear for the discount. You got to type in MI Tech News, and then it discounts the $129 price by 15%.
Very nice.
Now, I wasn't a math major. I won't tell you how much that is.
But the good news is that for people who both listen to the Internet Advisor and also people particularly who subscribe to mitechnews.com, and remember that's free, you get a chance to get practical things like this, a discount on maybe a conference that suits your need or that you want to pass on to somebody that you know. So, Mike, thank you so much for providing this with us, with these headlines and also with these great opportunities to tap into resources for entrepreneurs in our state through mitechnews.com. Thanks, Mike. Have a good week.
Thanks, Foster. Thanks, Gary.
All right. And thank you, by the way, for those of you who have subscribed, but for the rest of you who may be hearing about this for the first time, very easy to get to that. Go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, and then you get to subscribe and delivered to you on Fridays a whole laundry list of many, many more headlines and focuses both on national, the local, and opportunities for entrepreneurs as well. Hey, let's go back to our studios here to Ed Riddell and Shane are with us in studio here along with Talon Riddell. And Cal Carson. And what we're talking, guys, one thing came up before, and I think I'd like to touch on this a little bit more. You, Shane, from the point of view of somebody who sells to customers on a regular basis, and Eddie, you and Talon as customers who bought refurbished items.
Correct.
We've often told people, but when you're shopping for computers, check refurbished out. Is that safe, or are you asking, what's the risk I'm running in doing that?
Well, I mean, normally with a refurbished machine, what happens is it'll go out into the market and there'll either be a recall or something broken. They ship it back to the manufacturer. They fix that issue and then resell them as refurbished. A lot of times you run into problems where the problem wasn't fixed properly. Uh-huh. I personally don't. You can't save money buying a refurbished machine. I personally don't recommend it. There are better options out there, like off-lease machines tend to be a little bit better. You get a little bit bigger. See, you got to remember, businesses aren't leasing cheap retail models. They're leasing business class systems.
Right,
so you're going to get a little bit better built system, and you're going to get that huge price break by being an off-lease.
Okay. Well,
the other thing I was going to say as a consumer is when you buy a refurbished, you lose the warranty. So you don't have your one-year manufacturer's warranty, and you get only like 30 or 90 days. And when you buy it in the store, Best Buy used to have, if it was purchased from the store, it would be a one-year return.
Au contraire, if you buy it from Apple refurbished, you get the full warranty on it.
Ooh.
Well, that's Apple.
Well, I'm just saying. And I've already bought two refurbished machines from them, and they work just wonderfully. But, you know, take it with a grain of salt and do what your wallet dictates.
Well, I think we'll have time to touch on it a little bit more after the break.
We will. We'll
take more information.
Yeah, we'll talk some more about that. As a matter of fact, coming up in our second hour, Shane has a very important news for you who are small business owners about a scam that's out there. A tech defender tip coming up at the beginning of our next hour. And the next hour is when you get to take the show over. That's right. Here's our phone number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And our lady of the telephones, Annie Nichols, and her smiling voice are waiting to talk with you. You give us a call, tell us what your problem is, and we'll try to tackle it right here on the air and get a solution for you. That number again, 800-859-0957.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Hello, Foster Round, co-host of the program here, and I've got a studio full, chock full of tech experts. We've got Cal Carson, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, all in here to answer your questions because this is your hour. If you haven't heard us for a while, the second hour of our show is where you get to call in on our toll-free number and ask your questions, and we try to come up with an answer right away for you. Here's the number, 800-859-0957. 800-859-0WJR. Phone lines open. Give us a call right now. All right, our second hour is underway here, and for those of you who maybe have heard us live here on our flagship station, WJR, when we are on these 2 hours, the second hour, we dedicate entire, have been doing this for 16 years now. That's how we began, was to, by opening up the weekend program when I was doing it here on WJR, and Gary Baker was my provider. He had the ISP that I used to get on the internet. Called him up one day and took the last half hour of my morning show with him on the weekends, and he answered my questions, and then other people got into it and said, oh, good, we've got somebody who can answer our questions. And those were the days when getting on the internet was that strange collection of sounds that got you on the line. Anyway, our second hour of the program now is open line for you to call in at our toll-free number from wherever you're hearing us, and we will get to work with our tech experts in studio to answer your questions. The number is 800-859-0957. 877-927-9657. And we've got Joan Lavonia written, ready to call or talk with him in just a few minutes. But right now, I want to get Shane. You had something very important that you've run into that you want to tell small business owners about.
Small business owners, anyone who deals with computers. I belong to a small group. We're called the Tech Guardians. We try to protect people's rights out there when it comes to technology and scamming and viruses and all the latest deals out there. Right now, I've noticed, in fact, I was almost a victim of it, but I would never be the victim of it. But they'd called. What they're doing is they're acting as if your company is using counterfeit Microsoft products.
Or pirated software. Right?
Correct. And they're extremely elaborate because they're actually sending a FedEx envelope, a real, you know, FedEx letter to your office.
Wow.
Addressed to the IT manager, which is always kind of a, you figure they would know. If they're going after you, they know who they're going after.
But when
somebody in accounting or in your IT department opens this and reads, you know, this very official looking letter with an 800 number saying, you know, call us now so we can work out a deal and get more. And as soon as you talk to those people, you realize that they're not Microsoft. They'll ask you some very vague questions. You know, how many people use computers? What they're trying to do is find out how big your business is. Exactly. So they know how much to hit you up for.
Yep.
How much you
yep.
can afford.
Right.
You know, if you're a huge business, they're going to hit you up with a larger number.
Sure.
If you're two or three people, they're going to $200.
And the way it works, folks, is that, for instance, you can buy license packages from Microsoft for 5, 10, 15, whatever number it is.
Yeah.
People that use Microsoft Office, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're getting at is companies that will buy the small package and then give everybody the software.
Yeah.
So they're counting on having some of that pirated stuff back.
Yet. Oh, of course. I mean, you know, that's what they're thinking. Everyone's always wondering, boy, do I have anything out there? Did I load another copy?
Or did one of my employees put something out?
Yes. And they're out of control. And they're really high pressure, too. And this is not coming from overseas. This is the lady I talked to is right here in good old America.
Mm-hmm.
America. So she was...
So what gave you the hint as a business owner that this was not legit?
You know, always question everything. You know, you for one, you want to ask them as many questions as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they'll start getting short with you. The pressure will turn up and you kind of
they're off their script.
That. Yes.
Exactly.
Get them off their script.
And you did one thing I thought was really clever. You said, okay, let me have an email address so I can get back to you.
Let me get back to you. And I asked them, I said, do you work for Microsoft? And they're very vague. And they'll give you their email address. And it was something, I don't know exactly what, but it ended in .. It was a live account, a Microsoft live account. And any Microsoft employee would never come up with a, you know, and then they'll say, well, we work for a third party vendor that has the expertise in the power given to us by Microsoft to negotiate your deal, your
whatever the penalty is, or
correct
to work out a deal so you can continue using that software or pay the penalties.
The penalty, yes.
The important thing, folks, is that if your small business is out there, they are getting aggressive.
They are.
This isn't just some spam that's coming in. This is a phone call that goes right.
They're investing
the heart of
money into this scam that it will work. I mean, they're spending the money for the FedEx. So every time they're sending someone to call you or you call them, they've got money invested in this scam. So they're not going to give up easy.
Mm-mm.
So you've got to kind of sniff it out.
So if you're a business owner, keep that in mind. You know that they're out there. They're looking for that kind of thing.
And if you have any question, I mean, you can always get a hold of me.
Yep.
Let me know.
You can get a hold of him through us here at the Internet Advisor, shane@internetadvisor.net.
Yep.
You know, another way to get around that particular thing, too, that'll really throw them off, too, is that you tell them to hold on for a second. You're going to three-way call in the local police so that we can all talk about this together and make sure it's okay.
Since I'm breaking the law on a criminal...
Yeah.
When the police, you know, the police should be involved.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Call their bluffing something. Hey, now, Cal, one thing I wanted you to talk about, repeat again, was something for people out there with iPhones, iPads,
any iOS device.
Yeah, any iOS device.
Which would cover anything that was, all the iPads from iPad 2 and on, any iPod Touch 5th generation, and anything iPhone 4 and beyond.
Yep.
There is an update, a 7.0.6 update, that they need to apply to their phones or to their device immediately.
Yeah.
It's to close up a vulnerability in the SSL-TSL protocol that's on the phone. And it takes all of,
five to 8 minutes.
It took me 8 minutes to download and do the whole process. Yeah. You either have to have your device connected to a computer, or you either have to be connected to Wi-Fi in order for it to... download and install on your machine.
Now, the important thing about this, folks, is don't put this one off. This is a serious hole. And as soon as I saw the news, I went and did it. And it's very simple. All you got to do, essentially, is to be on either Wi-Fi or plug your phone in. And you will go to settings. go to General, and then go to Software Update, and then let it take a look and see what the version is that you have. And if you need to update, it will say this software update is available then.
Yes.
Click it and start downloading.
And until you get a chance to get near to do that update, make sure you don't sign on to any untrusted networks, and make sure that you're using Wi-Fi that's encrypted.
Yeah, but it's the kind of thing, do it now, okay? Don't hesitate about this. Won't cost you anything. It takes about 5-10 minutes. All right, hey, coming back in just a moment, and the phone lines are open. We'll start taking our calls at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. Welcome. This is the time when the, you might say, the rubber meets the road, when our tech experts in studio, and that right now is Kel Carson and Shane Hamlin. Lots of years of experience handling both. In Kel's case, a lot of... Mac machines, and wow. Shane also with his store, CompTech Services, out in Sterling Heights. You have plenty of experience handling all those machines, but particularly Windows machines. Okay, let's get right to our phones and say hello to Joe, who's calling us from Livonia. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. What's your question?
Well, I got a million of them, but the biggest thing is that I'm trying to install a new 250-gig hard drive on an MDD. And if I understand it correctly, if I'm gonna sit there and start with earlier versions of the OS, like OS 9, that I have to install it to the closest part of the hub. But I'm not sure exactly how to do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing that you got to do for that particular Mac is it's not going to support a 250-gigabyte hard drive without you going out and buying an additional card to drive that drive.
Well, it's showing in the
It will show in disk utility, but when you go to format it, you won't get the full 250 gig of space on there.
Oh.
I think you'll be limited to 128, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought I did homework on that. I know on the gigabit Ethernet it won't, but on this one it supposedly said 250. No, it was more than 250. Hmm. So, all right. Anyway,
okay. One down.
different question in regards to resetting the PMU. Does that get done while the machine is in operation, and do all applications have to be off?
PMU is the power management unit, and the best way to reset that is with an initial boot sequence. And if you go to the Apple website and search for resetting PMU on your Mirador Mac, you'll see the process that you go through to do it. I don't memorize it by memory, because there's a couple of different ways to do it depending on which model Mac you have. But basically, when you're powering it, you power the machine off, then you hold down a combination of keys, which I believe is Command, Option.
Oh, okay, but I'm talking about the button on the inside. Is that not called the PMU?
Well, that button on the inside that you want to set, you don't want to try to reset that with the machine running. You want the machine turned off.
And okay.
And the same procedure you can also find at that same Apple website.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, sir. Well, no, I want to thank you. We have
and I got a question for Kel off air, if I can.
Well, we'll put you on hold, and when we come to the break, we'll see if you can let
appreciate
him do
it
for you. Sure. Okay. The number, by the way, again, is 800-859-0957. The only question we say, by the way, is a dumb one, is the one you don't ask. And when you ask a question, by the way, even if it's a simple one, very often you help a lot of people out there who have those same kind of questions, maybe a little bashful. So, yeah, don't be bashful. We don't bite in here, and we got lots of help waiting for you. So let's head back out to now Shelby Township. And Cindy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, hon?
Hi, I have an Apple question for Kel.
All right.
Okay, I have a third generation iPod, 60 gigabyte photo that's full. And originally, I had an iTunes library on an old desktop, and in moving, you know, I think we had an external hard drive. We can't find where the library was, so I ended up with a laptop that didn't have enough room for the whole 60 gigabytes on there and mm-hmm. everything else. So this iPod is not in any iTunes library. I started a new iTunes library on the laptop and started adding stuff in. Part of it's on the iPod, but I never synced, you know, the iPod to the laptop. That laptop broke.
Oops.
Then I ended up getting a laptop from my friend, and she had her own iTunes library on
Oops.
There. So I have, like, the iPod.
Sorry to laugh.
An old backed up on a hard drive for my laptop iTunes library, and then my friend's iTunes library.
Oh, my Lord. Well, but you have your library someplace safe. Am I right? Backed up someplace safe?
No. Oh, yeah. What's not on the iPod's not safe.
Okay.
It's not backed up anywhere because I can't find that.
Okay.
The laptop that broke, I did get it onto an external hard drive.
Okay. So you got a piece of it there.
Never merged it with my friend's iTunes library.
Okay.
Here's the kicker. I just got a new computer.
Woohoo!
So let's start fresh with a new iTunes library. But how do I merge all
those pieces
of those old libraries into the new one?
All right, Cindy. So the bottom line is you want to take all those broken pieces of iTunes libraries and you want to merge them into one account, one new iTunes account on your new laptop. Am I right, Cal, following
that's
that
exactly
rabbit?
Right.
Did I follow the rabbit trail, Cal?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So the answer is...
Okay, now, this is going to be a lot of work to do in order to do it. So the first thing that I would do if I was doing this is I would take this new computer, create my user account on it. Is this a Windows machine or a Mac?
It's a Windows.
Okay. So I create a user account on that Windows machine. And then I would install iTunes on that Windows machine, downloading it from Apple. And then once I've got that downloaded, I would take that iPod, connect it to that machine, and then I would copy, I would do a sync so that everything on the iPod would end up on that machine.
And what is the key setting that I've got to do so when I hook up my iPod in the future, it doesn't wipe it, you know?
It won't
work. You know what I mean? It doesn't automatically sync. I know there's a setting for that.
Yeah, it's inside. I don't have a Windows machine in front of me, unfortunately, but in the preferences within iTunes, you can click on the iPhone itself, I believe, on the left-hand side of the column. When you do that, you'll see a number of tabs across the top, and one of them, I believe, is settings. When you click on that, under that will be a menu, and there'll be a checkbox that would say, do you want to sync every time you connect, and if you uncheck it, then it will not sync every time you connect it.
Okay, so I'm going to manually sync it the first time. Now, here's my question. I have an Apple account already. Do I want to set up the new iTunes library with my existing account?
Do you have anything in iCloud with that Apple account?
Yes.
Okay. Be aware that when you log into that Apple account on your new Windows machine, if you have iCloud turned on, it's going to take everything that you got in the cloud and sync it with your machine. If you're okay with that, that's fine. If not, don't turn iCloud on. But yes.
Oh, I'm okay with that as long as it doesn't mess my iPod up.
Nope, won't mess your iPod up. And the other thing that's going to happen is that all of the tunes that you bought with iTunes will be synced to that new computer as well.
Right. You'll have your purchases. We'll be logged in then. Okay? Does it help you, Cindy?
We talked about syncing the iPod. Now, how do I get the other two libraries merged in there?
Well, what you're going to have to... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. What you'll have to do is attach that external hard drive that you have and then drill down into those iTunes libraries and copy over, doing basically a Windows file explorer copy, just copy over the files from that external
drive. Drag and drop?
Yeah, that are music to the music files onto the new computer. The same thing with pictures.
Sounds like you don't want to do that automatically. You want to drag and drop them.
She can't do it automatically.
Okay, good. Were you going to say something, Shane, along those lines?
No, he hit it just right. What was going to say?
Exactly it, okay. Now, Cindy, those are some of the step-by-steps. If you have any further questions on this, you can always get hold of Cal through cal@internetadvisor.net, or you can simply go to our website, internetadvisor.net, and there's a Contact Us button in there. And throughout the week, we're also available so that you can give us an email at that account, and we'll do our very best to get in touch with you there, okay? Go ahead.
Ask one more thing.
We're almost out of time on this, and I've got some other calls coming in that I want to make sure we get to as well. So get on that Contact Us form and send us any further questions you have, okay? That's just to make sure we get other people on the air this afternoon while we're online, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Cindy, thank you so much. Yeah, because as you said, Cal, it's a little bit complicated. It takes a lot of that step-by-step. So I'm thinking as she gets into that, she'll have some more practical questions that she can pass.
And I'll be more than glad to answer them through the forum.
All right. Hey, Marilyn out there in West Broomfield will be coming back for you. And by the way, for you too, at 800-859-0957. That's the number to get you in right now. Get in line and we'll get to your call. 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor on the air for you. We're delighted to be able to be on with you live here on our flagship station, WJR 760 AM in Detroit this weekend. During the sports season, especially during this March Madness season coming up, often our program has been shifted because of the basketball games and other programs are preempting us. But we are continual. Every week, we do a two-hour program. And you can find us by simply going to internetadvisor.net and checking our podcasts. And there you will find 2 hours of the same kind of program you're hearing here, which goes out to our affiliates or 4 stations throughout Michigan where we're heard every week, and also for people who download us as a podcast. And so if you miss something on the air here or you'd like to follow up on an answer, for instance, that somebody's given, you can simply go on Sunday nights. I post those podcasts, go up there, and you can download it and listen to the programs again. Or if we don't happen to be on live on WJR, you can do the same thing. So starting probably mid-March, late March, we'll be on regularly from 4 to 6 here on Saturday afternoons. But right now, we have a special opportunity to be on, and if you have a question for us, give us a call, toll-free, 800-859-0957. Shane, we've got somebody who might have that same kind of FedEx scam going on that you were talking about before. Donna from Kenton, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah.
I have two questions. One is, we have 2 computers and we have Norton on it and it's slowing it down. It's always running. Is there anything better than Norton?
Yeah. Shane, you want to feel that one first?
Norton. Yeah, you know what? Go ahead and pull that out of there. Add and remove programs or use the Norton removal tool. And actually use Microsoft Security Essentials.
Free.
Yeah, free.
Free.
And doesn't have a big footprint, so it's not going to slow down your machine. And it's going to stop just the same amount of viruses as the Norton.
Of course. Okay, good. Thank you.
Hang. Cal had a thought, too. Cal.
Now, what version is she running? XP or is she running? What version of Windows are you running?
What version? Seven.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just wanted to check on something.
Yeah, Microsoft Security Essentials is optimized for working with 7 and with Windows 8. Actually, in Windows 8, it was made part of the operating system,
yes.
And it's called Windows Defender. You don't even have to download anything with Windows 8. It's
yeah,
there.
If it was Windows XP, you know, what is it, 30? There's about 30 days, 36 days left.
April the 9th, they're going to end support.
So,
yeah. I mean, the point I wanted to make is that, you know, Norton in the past has been, you know, less than enjoyable to deal with. But as of lately, it's been a better tool.
Yeah, it is.
And I've used it on some machines, you know, so it all depends. Like if your internet provider is giving it to you for free, if it's properly installed and maintained, it's not too bad.
But Marilyn, you're saying you're experiencing slowing down your system, right, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Donna, it's slowing everything down.
And if it does that, then the obvious solution, by the way, is just this free, wonderful service from Microsoft called Microsoft Security Essentials. Now, what was your other question, Marilyn?
Okay, the other is Donna. I work at a college and I have can access my work email from home. If I go on my computers, I can get into the site no problem. When I go on my iPad, it'll go into the site with the email, but it won't open up all the way. It'll show me emails from a long time ago. I can't, and when I try to show me all, it won't show it all. So I'm wondering, do I need Flash or something? What do you think that could be?
It'll
show me emails from like a long time ago. Hmm. When I try to, you know, make it show me, like, you know, update it, it won't do that.
Well, are you sure that you're connecting to that email service and pulling updated information? Because sometimes you can change your password for your email service, but if you don't remember to change it on your iPad, it will never update.
Now, I don't know what you mean by that. I'm not following you.
Well, it depends on how. Do you just use something like Safari to look at your email on your iPad, or do you use actual mail
application? Okay, that's a good question. Okay, when I go on the computer, I go to Internet Explorer, and I type in my, you know, I log in, and I type in my passwords from work. It comes up.
Okay.
When I go on the iPad, I go to Safari. I type in. It lets me in. But then when I go there and I try to access my email, it's showing me stuff from, you know, like March or May of last year. I mean, a long time ago, and it's like, when I try to make it go to show me now,
it doesn't sound like you're getting into your current email account there. and it may be the password that's the problem. The Safari has stored an old password, it may be. Does that sound like it, guys?
It sounds like
it. Could be that.
The thing, that doesn't make sense, though, because if I couldn't get in, I couldn't get in, period. It wouldn't even let me log in. It lets me log in.
So when you log in, do you refresh the browser screen just to make sure it's giving you a fresh screen?
I haven't done that.
And then the other thing I want to ask you is, what version iPad do you have? Is it iPad 2, 1?
What do we have, Rick? It's not the Retina one. It's the one before the Retina one.
Right. Well, sounds, two. Sounds like 2.
Okay, and you have it up. You have it up to date as far as the OS on it as well.
I don't know what that means.
Is your operating system up to date on it? That's a question she's asking. Yeah.
Okay. So, how would I know to do?
Cal will tell you.
You'll turn on your iPad. You'll click on your settings icon. You'll go to General. And then you'll go to, and it'll tell you what level of software you are at or if you need an update to it. And if you do need an update to it, go ahead and run an update on it. And that will probably also pull down a more current version of Safari as well.
Yeah.
And then try and reboot the iPad and then turn it back on and attempt to see if you can access your Mac.
Now, Donna, by the way, you want to do that today because of the security update.
Yep.
It's out.
I heard something. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said that. People get into your passwords or something?
Well, not that so much, but it is a... let me just put it simply to you and to anybody else who has an iOS device, update. And you want to update to it's version 1.0.7.
No, 7.
I'm sorry, 7.0.6, excuse me.
Thank you.
And when
7.0.6?
Yeah, it's very simple. When you go into those settings, just go to update, and update will tell you if one's available, which it should. Click on that, and in about 10 minutes, it will do the update. Okay.
Okay, what about our computers? Do we need to do that with passwords on there? Because they said you can get into the bank accounts or something. There was something I heard that said that there was, Maybe it was just the Apple product.
Yeah, this is just on the Apple
product. Let's just separate this out. This one, don't worry about the other ones right now. This one you need to do immediately on the iPad, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for giving us a call. Hope that's helped some other people as well. Hey, Marilyn in West Bloomfield, how are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. How about yourself?
Very good. I understand that you expect or think that there may be a scam going on?
Well, I was a victim of identity theft about a little bit over a year ago. Mm-hmm. I did not realize it. It took 3 months.
Ooh. How'd it happen?
It isn't FedEx's problem or fault. He delivered a piece of mail.
Hang on. You're breaking up a little bit. Let's see if we can try you again because I want to make sure we hear this. Are you still there? Marilyn? Hey, Marilyn, we're going to put you on hold, and I want, if Annie, could you check out that call? Rich, if you could, we have on Marilyn, we just seem to have lost her. We'll see if she can call us back in, because I want to find out more about that. Apparently, this was something that came through FedEx, just like yours did.
That's one of the biggest, that's probably one of the biggest scams going out there, the phishing or the spoofing, where she may have gotten an email that said, hey, you know, delivery failure, or we need to contact you, or something like that, and they reply to that. And boom.
Well, you think if I get a FedEx letter, my goodness, this has got to be straight.
Yeah. Or even an email.
Or even
they're
going to
get you either way.
Exactly. With emails, though, you expect kind of the spear phishing or things like
that.
You'd
be surprised. I mean, there's so much out there. Actually, you can go to FedEx's website, and there's a huge article there that will explain to you the different types of scam that's involved with FedEx.
Okay.
What they look like. There's pictures. How to avoid them.
Folks, that's a good point. I know, guys, I think that very often if you suspect that something is bogus, you can often go back to the legitimate site, you know, wherever they say if it's from Microsoft or wherever else it is, that's where you'll find very often that what you're getting is absolutely bogus. Now, let's see, do we have Marilyn back yet? I want to make sure all right, I tell you what, we're going to take this other call from Kevin in Utica. Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, real good, thanks.
Okay, what's your question?
I guess my questions have to do with, I guess, getting a new PC. You were mentioning earlier on the show about, you know, recommending a Lenovo. What would be your recommendations on an HP notebook versus a Lenovo notebook? And in the same vein, what about the processor, AMD versus Intel? And then when you do get that, make your choice and you get that new computer, what's the very first thing you should do?
Oh, good questions.
And in combination with that, what's the best way to get rid of crapware, if you know what I mean, on a new PC.
Yeah, I hear you. Less of that around nowadays than there used to be, I think, in some ways. But go ahead. Shane, you want
to? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It all depends on, obviously, your budget's important. If we're talking more of the professional series of Lenovo, then definitely, I mean, I have no problem. In fact, we sell them in our store. I have no problem with an HP, like a PowerBook or an EliteBook, one of their higher-end business class models. I have a problem with any retail brand machine. In fact, I mean, you know, they're price-driven. You know, that's kind of their thing. They want
it to
keep price
Dell,
down.
Which used to be the old workhorse. And if you get down into the, when you get down to that lower end, you'll get in for $354, but you're going to pay a price.
Correct. And that's why I always recommend either, you know, a Lenovo ThinkPad, more of the business class, or an IBM, an HP EliteBook or a ProBook. One of those.
Kevin, I want you to hang on for a second because you've asked some good questions a lot of people have about what's the first thing I do when I get my new computer home, depending on which one you want to buy, and how do you get rid of some of the junk software that comes with these? Used to call it crapware, a rather impolite way of putting it, but certainly if you have to deal with it, very, very descriptive. Back in just a moment. I hope that you've been enjoying this as much as we have here at the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown, co-host of the program. Gary Baker and I have been doing this for 16 years, and we're delighted to have a couple of our tech experts in studio with us. That's Kel Carson and Shane Hamlin, who are both helping us to answer questions. By the way, we're open. Our shop is open 24/7. Go to internetadvisor.net. We have a contact us button there. You can, if you're a little bashful about being on the air with us here, that's okay. You can send your question in. If you're listening to us on one of our affiliates and can't be involved in a live call-in, just send us your email through that contact us forum, and we will get back to you with some answers for your questions as well. Guys, let's wrap things up. By the way, I want to say thanks to Annie Nichols, our lady of the telephones, for answering it there, and Rich Lozenski for answering the board there. And KT is in. Kent Tucker, good seeing you too. All right, folks, let's get back to, we'll go back to Kevin, just quickly, Kevin, and then we'll get Marilyn as well, who has been waiting patiently to get back on the line. Kevin, you had a couple questions. All right, we talked about what's better, the HP or Lenovo, and you got some advice from Shane. Now we're talking about, once you got the new laptop home, what's the first thing you do, guys?
Well, even before he goes home, make sure he picks up an external hard drive when he leaves the computer store so that you'll be able to back up all the stuff that you need to back up on a regular basis from your laptop in case the laptop itself has a problem with the hard drive and you don't lose everything.
Would you also say maybe make a decision then, guys, on a cloud-based storage system?
Without a doubt.
Well, you can use Dropbox. Both. You could use OneDrive. It's the old SkyDrive is now OneDrive.
Or you can use something like CrashPlan or Carbonite or any of the other ones that are out there where you can get backed up over the internet automatically on a regular basis and you don't have to worry about it.
And we suggest using this, by the way, as belts and suspenders, like you have both. Don't count on having just that hard drive sitting next to your computer, because when the fire happens or water damage or whatever else, electrical surge, failure, whatever.
Unless you take that hard drive somewhere else and, like, you know, put it at a friend's house or at a family member's house or in a safe deposit box. But even then, remember that that's just one chance that you're going to have. If that drive fails as well, then, you know, you're on your own.
And there's a ton of cloud storage places you can go free, like 5, 6, 7 gigabytes of storage. You can put pictures. If you're Apple, it's iCloud. You've got Google has a service up there, OneDrive, you name it. Okay, so that's one thing. Okay,
gig.
I know. That's going to be taken. You could spread them out.
Understood.
Now, what does he do to get rid of the C-ware, the crapware?
Well, real quick, I know we're running out of time here, but I wanted to tell you really quick, Kevin, I didn't really determine whether I wanted Lenovo or HP.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know, either one of those is a good machine, as long as you're going to get the higher end, you know, the Pro Series. Price is everything. You get what you pay for. You buy a $300 laptop, you're going to get a $300 laptop. A good price range.
AMD versus Intel.
A
good, just so you know, a good price range is staying in the $500-$600 range. You're going to get a good quality machine either way, with either a EliteBook or ProBook or a Lenovo.
That's a realistic.
IBM. AMD versus Intel. AMD tends to be a little cheaper. They've gotten their cost downs a little bit more than the manufacturing on an Intel. You know, if you're just using it as a standard computer, you know, emails, web, Facebook, it doesn't matter. You're going to be fine either way. You know, they both have their higher-end processor, their lower-end processor.
So, Kevin, the issue becomes then, and you guys have asked this question before, and before you put your money down, what are you going to be doing with your machine? If, like Talon Rudell, who was in before, he's going to be doing video editing, that's going to dictate a certain kind of machine that has a separate video card, et cetera, okay? And a faster processor would be good there. So know that ahead of time when you go in to buy. Okay, does that help you out, Kev?
Yeah, and the crapware?
Oh, yeah, bloatware, crapware, we call it all kinds of different names. Basically, what you're going to do is... And the first thing I always do when we have at our store, we have a service where people bring in their new laptops and we'll go through it and we'll remove all that stuff, do all the updates for them, because you're going to have a ton of updates when you buy a brand new computer.
Absolutely, yeah.
But first thing you do is go to your add and remove programs, go to your control panel, and just start removing, you know, if you want to put your own, because you're going to get a lot of trial software.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this antivirus is most likely going to be trial. You know, either Norton, probably Norton is going to be on there. You remove that. Just go through.
How about the software that comes, the guys, that says, if it's an HP, here's your HP
dock
or your printer and all your it's got 15 different pieces of software on there.
You know, your ink supply level, you know, software, you know, all that stuff, you can pretty much get rid of it, uninstall it.
The one that I would probably keep, though, is the one that that goes out and automatically pulls down the drivers and the hardware
They will
for that particular manufacturer. That one I would probably keep.
The update utility, correct. Yeah. And I know with Lenovo, it's called System Update. There's, you want to keep that. Those are any of the update utilities you see. Anything with utility, update utility, Wi-Fi utility, those are things you want to save. Because if you remove the HP Wi-Fi utility, you may have problems connecting to the internet.
You may have to find another one then.
Correct.
So in that case, that's well-wired. Okay, does that help you, Kev?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to want to get rid of first thing is antivirus. That's what I deal with first, because that's usually the trial, and I strip that out.
Yeah.
You know?
Because what people don't often realize, folks, is that there is a trial limit to that, like 60 days, 90 days. You're going along merrily thinking you're covered. Well, I got X on my machine, whatever it is. All of a sudden, 60 days, 90 days, you get the nagware starting to pop up.
Well, what? Speaking of Marilyn, let's go see what Marilyn's talking
about. All right, let's do that. Thanks, Kev, for giving your call. And Marilyn, we've got you back, hopefully, now.
Yeah.
You were dealing with a scam, right?
Right.
Okay, so tell us what the scam was and what it did to you. It stole your identity?
Yeah, it did steal. I was a victim of identity theft. What they did is they sent out letters from this with through FedEx with checks in them.
Oh.
And I didn't find it for 3 months because FedEx, because of the bad weather and I wasn't home, they tucked it under my front mat, and I never used the front door.
Oh, my word.
So they found it when they went to replace the deck on the front.
Oh, my goodness. And there were checks inside the envelope?
There was a check for over $3,000. And part of the problem was is I had just retired.
Uh-huh.
And the check was on New York Life.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know if that's who my pension was through or not.
Ah.
So, but there was also the name of a company, which was an air transport company in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And it was, the police said it was part of the Nigerian scam.
Oh, my goodness. So what were they telling you to do, to cash
the check?
They were telling
me, they wanted me to deposit this check. And then they would use that to get access to my checking account and all my other information.
That is the Nigerian scam.
Yeah, and they call it like a security keep fee so that you can process everything.
And their idea is that they send you a bogus check, which you deposit, and then they get your data, your account information, et cetera, from it, and you don't get any money out of it, did you?
No, of course not. But thank goodness my daughter works at a bank. At my bank, and she said, "Mom, let's check this out first."
Yeah. Good.
And security at the bank said no.
Okay, good.
So that's what sent me to the police department, and I filed a report. But people have to be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. It's just like this thing that's going through the small businesses.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Now, Marilyn, did they steal your identity? I thought you had said that before.
They did. They had my name. They on the check was my name, my address, and my phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that they could probably get through most any kind of searches. They can just go through but there's any number of them out there for people searches, and they're just randomly going to pick somebody like you. And go for it. They may have found, matter of fact, they may have found people who are of certain age.
Well, the other
going after retirees.
The other twist in that scam is sometimes what they'll do is they'll send you a check for $3,000 and have you deposit it, and then they say, you know, we're trying to free up some more money. If you send us $1,500, we'll send you, you know, X amount more. And then what happens is that you send them the $1,500, the check for $3,000 bounced, and you're out of $1,500.
Exactly. And then the key is to get your information. Marilyn, thank you for calling and sharing that, and I'm glad that you avoided the dodge that bullet.
Yeah.
All right, dear.
Thank
take care.
For my daughter.
Yes, and Thanksgiving. Yeah, exactly. And for a good security system at that bank. Hey, folks, it's been a delight to be able to be with you here live on our flagship station, WJR in Detroit. And for the rest of you listening to us on our affiliates and through our podcast, we look forward to keeping in touch with you through InternetAdvisor.net. There you'll find show notes on all the things we've talked about today on our program. Shane, thanks so much for being
here. You're welcome. It's always a blast.
Cal, good to have you here in studio.
You betcha.
And we are going to be back around for another 2 hours this coming weekend. And if you want to get hold of that podcast, again, simply go to InternetAdvisor.net and check out all the resources there and download the podcast.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.